Greetings to another episode of Hearing in Colour with Matt Simon. So today I'm going to take a deep dive into some of the lyrical genius of Sting. Now, Sting has been a massive influence on my musicality in terms of music and also lyrically. I think he's brilliant. When he writes music, often he puts really clever things in, clever musical devices, but puts them in really subtly. So there might be something in odd time signatures or crazy key changes, but you don't know, it's quite commercial. And often with his music as well, his lyrics, he will put some very clever literary references or write from a point of view that is actually quite clever under the surface, but you don't have to know the story to understand that, which I think is great. One example would be Mad About You off the In Sacred Love album. It's basically a love triangle between three biblical characters, but he just does it as a love triangle. So it's referencing that, but then you don't have to know that to appreciate the song, which is really cool. So to start with, I'm going to go to one of his most famous songs, which is Shape of My Heart. Verse 1, he deals the cards as a meditation, and those he plays never suspect. He doesn't play for the money he wins. He don't play for respect. So not a lot in this first verse. There's a guy who's playing cards, which you could probably assume is maybe poker. That's one of the most common gambling games. It's a very difficult game to master as well. Doesn't necessarily matter what game it is, but he's a card player. Verse 2, he deals the cards to find the answer, the sacred geometry of chance. Now, straight away, we're going into some quite deep esoteric stuff. Sacred geometry is when people considered different forms, or geometric forms and shapes, sacred. That might sound quite obvious, but for example, things like the golden ratio, which is, I think, 1 to 1.61, which is also, I think, maybe phi, the number. It's considered the most pleasing shape. So something like a credit card or a four-finger Kit Kat, that slight rectangle just bigger than a square, is considered like the golden ratio. And then when people are comparing sort of beauty in people's faces, certain ratios and things, they consider, well, this ratio, if your numbers line up like this, then this is better. Also things like they as above and so below. Quite often ancients would work out, I think in Egyptian as well, they'd work out shapes and geometrical radiuses or ratios for the stars and then try and create that down on Earth. So they considered, well, if that's what it's like in the heavens, then if we can make Earth perfect down here, then we need to copy those dimensions. There's lots of things like Fibonacci sequence is like 1 plus 1 is 2, then 1 plus 2 is 3, 2 plus 3 is 5. This natural number variations are found in things like spirals and seeds arranged on a flower. So there's lots of numbers that keep cropping up, and it's sort of a study of those, and like, is there divinity within that? Is it the work of God or higher powers? So that's generally what sacred geometry is. The hidden law of a probable outcome, the numbers lead a dance. So again, playing as a meditation, there's someone who's looking for meaning in the seeming randomness of chance of playing cards. The chorus, I know that the spades are the swords of a soldier. I know that the clubs are weapons of war. I know that diamonds mean money for this art, but that's not the shape of my heart. Now, this is deep. Apparently, with these lyrics, according to one of my drum teachers, who's a Geordie, a big fan of Sting, Dominic Miller, his guitarist, had played that very famous guitar riff, and Sting went outside and 20 minutes later came back with these lyrics, which is staggering. Okay, so the modern playing cards we use today are based on tarot cards. The four suits of cards we have now is clubs, diamonds, hearts and spades. Now, spade, I know that spades are the swords of a soldier. In Italian, espad, apologies if I'm butchering the word, means sword. And clubs are the weapons of war. So the suits in tarot cards, there are clubs or staves, like wooden staffs. There's swords, there's cups, and there's coins. So spades comes from the Italian word for sword. Clubs are the weapons of war. Yep, a stave, like a long wooden stick. I know that diamonds mean money for this art. So diamonds in our modern suits link up with coins, or they're called pentacles. But that's not the shape of my heart. And the cups represent emotions. Cups can hold water, which is often referenced as emotions. For example, if you have dreams, or so if you dream and there's like a frozen lake or a roaring sea or a little trickle, it's like, often that represents your emotions. So that's not the shape of my heart. So he's referencing that the cups is referencing emotions and the suit of hearts. So he's got quite a good knowledge of these things. Verse 3, he may play the jack of diamonds, he may lay the queen of spades, he may conceal a king in his hand while the memory of it fades. Nothing really to say in this, it's just a nice way of saying that he's moving the cards around. Chorus again, I know that spades are the swords of a soldier. And verse 4, this is quite interesting. And if I told you that I loved you, you'd maybe think there's something wrong. I'm not a man of too many faces, the mask I wear is one. So this, someone who I would say is an introvert, and sings quite introverted as well, I can be. Let's just go back. Yeah, so if I told you that I love you, you'd maybe think there's something wrong. I'm not, that suggests maybe someone who's not good at expressing their emotions. I'm not a man of too many faces, meaning he doesn't really display his emotions. The mask I wear is one, so clearly hiding his emotions. I've got a lyrical analysis of this up on YouTube. And someone corrected the lyric. They said, if I told her that I loved you is actually the lyric. And that changes everything in this verse. So who is the her? Is it a confidant? Is it an ex-lover? Is it maybe a mother? So again, someone who's very uncomfortable with expressing emotions and likes to hide them. And this is very similar to playing cards, playing poker, for example, because the last thing you want to do is give away your emotions and give away hints of what's in your hand. It's all about bluffing and trying to work out what the other person has without revealing what you have. And I think this is maybe seen as an analogy for how this person, possibly autobiographically, goes through life, maybe hiding their emotions and is not comfortable displaying them. And again, that's not the shape of my heart. That's not the shape of my heart. So really, this is someone who is quite sad because it's written in a minor key. It really conveys that. But the heart, yeah, saying what's in your heart or expressing emotions. So it's someone who is not comfortable in their emotions and looks for inspiration in other areas. And cards is the method which they're using. Very interesting. Now, song number 2. This is one of my favourite songs from Sting. This is an absolute belter. It's a real oxymoron, paradox, because it's very happy music, really uplifting, but it was written after his dad died, so it's quite sad, but he likes to juxtapose those. That's what I was looking for. So verse 1, I looked across the river today, saw city on the fog and an old church town where the seagulls play. I thought that was Old Church Tower. As I'm editing this, I just want to add something else. What is amazing about what he does, and very other few people do this so well, Ginger Wildheart is another one, is the lyrics as they're performed, they're exactly as they're spoken. So I looked out across the river today, I saw city in the fog on an old church tower where the seagulls play. It's exactly the rhythm he sings it. What really annoys me is when people have lyrics and they'll put the stress on the wrong part of the word, like we're going to go under the bridge or something like that, where it just really jars. And not only does he keep the rhythm of the stress of the words in the right place, it's not a stiff rhythm like da 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 da. He really phrases it so beautifully that it's almost like it's being spoken. It's just perfect phrasing. Saw the sad shy horses walking home in the sodium lights. Two priests on a ferry, October geese on a cold winter's night. So there's only 4 lines here, but this is lots of imagery straight away. So I looked out across the river today, saw city in the fog and an old church town where the seagulls play. So just describing the scene, and he says October geese, so that would mean it would be October. I think possibly they are flying south for the winter, if they haven't already done so. Saw the sad, shy horses walking home, so obviously these are working animals, coming to the end of the day, referencing end of the day, possibly a life. In the sodium light, now I thought this was just generally a yellow colour, but sodium lights, it was the street lighting, was sodium was used in them as it burns. Two priests on a ferry, so his father is dying, and as we'll see in the later verses, they come to say the last rites. Chorus, all this time the river flowed endlessly to the sea. And again, as previously mentioned in Shape of My Heart, water often references emotions, and a river as well is like fairly timeless. All this time the river flowed, like whatever happens, like our insignificant human lifetimes, whatever happens, still the river keeps flowing to the sea. It's just natural, and that's what it is. It's done that before we were here, it will do that after we've gone. So, verse 2, two priests came round our house tonight. one young, one old, to offer prayers for the dying, to serve the final rites. One to learn, one to teach, which way the cold wind blows. Fussing and flapping in priestly black like a murder of crows. Now, this is one of the best verses I've ever read. This is incredible. Two priests came round our house tonight, fairly simple. One young, one old, to offer prayers for the dying, to serve the final rite. So someone is dying and we know that it's his father. One to learn, one to teach, which way the cold wind blows. Very eloquent way of saying, one is older, one is younger, one is learning the ways. Which way the cold wind blows, just saying, what is life? Now, this next line has so much packed into it. It's an absolute masterpiece. Absolutely genius, I think this is. Fussing and flapping in priestly black like a murder of crows. So fussing and flapping, obviously they're paying a lot of attention to the person in the bed. In priestly black, well, that's what they wore. And also flapping, because they have long sleeves, they're almost like wings. And then when we said a murder of crows, a group of crows is actually called a murder. And also crows are slightly ominous birds, harbinger of death. So all that contained in one line, saying that they literally like crows, flapping with the wings, the death, the black, crows are black, obviously. And murder, death again, murder was a group of crows. It's just absolutely staggering. That I think that's probably my favourite line he's ever written. Chorus. All this time the river flowed endlessly to the sea. If I had my way, I'd take a boat from the river and I'd bury the old man, I'd bury him at sea. So the chorus is slightly longer the second time round and saying, again, whatever happens, the river just keeps on flowing, time passes. And bury the old man at sea. Fairly simple. A Sting grew up in the northeast near shipyards, so there's a lot of water and that kind of imagery in some of his lyrics. Verse 3. Blessed are the poor, for they shall inherit the earth. Better to be poor than be a fat man in the eye of a needle. As these words are spoken, I swear I hear the old man laughing. What good has he used that world, and how could it be worth having? So another Bible reference here. Blessed are the poor, for they shall inherit the earth. And then a slight twist on it. Better to be poor than be a fat man in the eye of a needle. So there was the line, I think it was, more chance of getting a camel through the eye of a needle than a rich man going to heaven. I'll have to check that. But it'd be twisting that around. And as these words are spoken, I swear, I hear the old man laughing. So it was old man, that would be his father. So assume this is after he's died now. What good has he used up world, and how could it be worth having? So quite bitter and grieving, obviously, for the loss of his father. All this time the river flowed endlessly like a silent tear. That's quite nice. Obviously he's crying, he's sad, a silent tear, maybe a bit melodramatic, but water flowing. All this time the river flowed. Father, if Jesus exists, then how come he never lives here? So this is someone who clearly is questioning religion, who's very sad and saying, well, why have I never experienced Jesus? Very sad. And then the bridge section of this is excellent as well. Teachers told us the Romans built this place. They built a wall and a temple and an edge of the empire garrison town. They lived and they died. They prayed to their gods, but the stone gods did not make a sound. The empire crumbled till all that was left were the stones the workmen found. Now, this a town where Sting grew up in is right close to the border of Scotland. So the Roman Empire basically didn't really get to Scotland, and he's referencing Hadrian's Wall here. There's a temple, I think it was to Mithra, the god of light, and garrison town, because of the army history. And so he's saying, well, the Romans, they came, they put their stuff down, they lived here, they died, they prayed to the gods, but the stone gods not make a sound. So like, well, what's the point? You know, they lived their whole lives praying to these statues and nothing happened. Then their empire crumbled, all that was left were these stones again. So, he was saying basically their religion was a bit pointless as well, which is how he feels. Final chorus. All this time the river flowed in the falling light of northern sun. He's living in the north of England and northern Europe. If I had my way, take a boat from the river. And then this line I really like. Men go crazy in congregations, they only get better one by one. So all this time the river flowed in the falling light of northern sun. So the sun is going down, sun setting. Again, another metaphor for a life being extinguished. And then men go crazy in congregations. So, yeah, people are less better behaved in groups, but congregation also has a religious connotation because people in the church called a congregation, they only get better one by one. So he's saying, yes, people are better on their own, are less behaved in groups, but also he's having another stab at religion here, saying religion doesn't really work. He's not impressed with it, and obviously questioning that since passing of his father. There's so much detail in these lyrics, and what I love as well is that it's such an uplifting piece of music as well. It's great. I really recommend you check this out. The video, they're on a ship. Looks a little bit dated now. It came out about 1991, but really, really good song, and I love listening to this song, so I highly recommend you check that one out. Next up, we have Wrapped Around Your Finger, which is a Police song from the Synchronicity album. This song is basically about a role reversal. It's very interesting. Verse 1. You consider me the young apprentice, caught between the Scylla and Charybdis. So he is, I think this is generally about him and a older woman. You consider me the young apprentice. So caught between the Scylla and Charybdis. Now in Greek mythology, it was in the Odyssey. It was near the Strait of Messina. There's a narrow channel and there's two rocky cliffs either side, and it's basically like saying caught between a rock and a hard place. There was the sailors were in the middle of this channel, and there was a monster on each side of the channel, so if they went closer to one side it got bad, and then if they went closer to the other side it was bad as well, so there's nothing really you can do. So these two monsters, although in some stories the Charybdis is a water vortex like a whirlpool. Hypnotized by you, if I should linger, staring at the ring around your finger. So the ring around your finger would be a wedding ring. So this is someone who's married, and he is, I think we can assume that he's a young man who is not. I have only come here seeking knowledge, things they would not teach me of in college. Now, knowledge, this means of the carnal kind. So this is sexy knowledge. I can see the destiny you sold turn into a shining band of gold. Another reference to a wedding ring. So he's having relations with an older married lady. And the chorus, and this is interesting because it changes, I'll be wrapped around your finger. So another reference to a wedding ring, but a slang, wrapped around your finger, means like they have control of you. Verse 2, Mephistopheles is not your name. I know what you're up to just the same. So Mephistopheles was another name for the devil. Well, actually not the devil, an agent of the devil, a demon. So in the story, Faust makes a deal with the devil at the price of his soul, and so Mephistopheles is the devil's agent. Here, clearly, temptation is the theme. You're being offered something that you want, but is dangerous and has a price attached to it. I will listen hard to your tuition. You will see it come to its fruition. Now, this is not an extra math class. This is, knowledge in the ways of love. You will see it come to its fruition. So, I'm going to get better at doing that. And then next one, I'll be wrapped around your finger. I'll be wrapped around your finger. Again, you still have control of me. Final verse. So this is where it all changes. Devil and the deep blue sea behind me, vanish in the air, you'll never find me. I will turn your face to alabaster when you find your servant is your master. Devil in the Deep Blue Sea is an old jazz song written in 1931. I think it was first recorded by Cab Calloway. It talks about someone who, again, is in a difficult situation. They don't know what to do. I'm caught between the devil and the deep blue sea. So, devil in the deep blue sea behind me. So he's, again, making these choices. Vanish in the air, you'll never find me. Right, so now he's gone. He's got what he needed from the situation and now he's out. I will turn your face to alabaster. Alabaster is a white rock. So if your face is white, someone is in shock at what's happened. When you find your servant is your master. So here, the role reversal is complete. Oh, and you'll be wrapped around my finger. So the role reversal has been completed. When this song was written, Sting was going through a divorce. His first wife's called Frances. And then he got together with Trudy Styler, who's now his long-term wife. So he was going through a divorce at the time and lots of tension in the band. The video is really cool. You should definitely check this one out. So what they did is they recorded it. They must have listened to the song at double speed and then slowed the video down to the correct speed because it looks like they're floating around in slow motion, although they're performing in time. It's a really cool video, quite atmospheric, and It's a really cool song, and there was a version, I think it was Sting's 60th birthday celebrations a while back. He had different people coming on doing songs, and there's Rufus Sewell on vocals, and he did an incredible performance. And there's Vinnie Colaiuta on drums, although obviously Stuart Copeland is no slouch from The Police. But it feels that, like, that is almost like the song's highest evolution. It's just an absolutely incredible rendition of the song, so definitely go and check that. All right, so I'd like to now take a delve into some of their lesser-known songs. The album 2003 Sacred Love, which was just an awesome album. I remember listening to this with some friends when it came out. Some really, really classy lyrics. So Sting was about 50 when this was released, so quite mature artist, and just exquisite lyrics and some incredible music. Track 8 is called This War, and it's quite an upbeat rock song, like for Sting's later material. And just brilliant lyrics. So This War, it was released at the time when there was an invasion of Iraq going on, so that would be the first Iraq war. Just talking about the politicians, what they're saying, and it's still very relevant today. It's the same, I mean, yeah, the same mechanisms of power still exist, the same propaganda methods, but just incredibly eloquently put into words. So the first verse, you've got the mouth of a she-wolf inside the mask of an innocent lamb. You say your heart is all compassion, but there's just a flat line on your cardiogram. You always made a profit, baby, if it was a famine or a feast. Now, I don't think this refers to a specific person, because she-wolf could be someone female, maybe Hillary Clinton, but my guess is that it just means someone, and he used the extra syllables to get the rhythm of the words better, because if it was, you've got the mouth of a wolf inside the mask of an innocent lamb, you've got the mouth of a she-wolf, it just flows a bit better. So saying that someone is saying bad things, but obviously pretending to be innocent. And saying someone's heartless, this is a really nice way. You say your heart is all compassion, but there's just a flat line on your cardiogram. So cardiogram obviously being the electronic machine that tracks your heartbeat. So saying you're dead on the inside. Yet you always made a profit, baby, if it was a famine or a feast. Yeah, great lyrics. So this is referring to people who basically sell arms and have contracts with arms dealers that are getting commissions and cutbacks, and also construction companies who will go in and rebuild stuff when the war's been destroyed. So it doesn't matter who wins the war, how many people die, these people at the top, they're always going to make money. Second verse. Yes, I'm the soul of indiscretion. I was cursed with x-ray vision. I could see right through the lies you told when you smiled for the television. And you can see the coming battle. You pray the drums will never cease. This is brilliant. And the soul of indiscretion means I see what's happening, but I can't stay quiet. I will talk about this. I was cursed with x-ray vision. I could see right through all the lies he told when he smiled for the television. So he's, yeah, watching presidents, politicians talk about these things, and he's saying, I know it's all BS. This is just a lie, so I'm going to speak up about it. You could see the coming battle, so that'd be the war, and he prayed the drums will never cease. So saying they want the conflict, the wars continue, because the longer it goes on, the more money they're going to make. You may win this war that's coming, but would you tolerate the peace? So win the war, yes, it will come to a close at some point, but all their financial systems will be there in place. So can you tolerate peace? Meaning, well, it's better, it's more profitable for the war to be taking place, so that's what you prefer. And then investing in munitions and those little cotton flags. Invest in wooden caskets, in guns and body bags. This is quite an interesting turn of phrase. So, investing in munitions, well, saying arms dealers, and those little cotton flags. So I'm assuming this means on a table where they're having the layout of the countries and they're planning all the movements of the troops and their armies. He could have said something like territory markers, but little cotton flags, it's by calling them little, he's saying they are belittling the events. They're just seeing things as little flags. It's not people and deaths, it's just money to them. Invest in wooden caskets, in guns and body bags. Yeah, saying whatever happens with the war, how many people die, we'll just be making money. It's like selling shovels in a gold rush. As long as it continues, it doesn't matter what happens. We're just going to keep making money. Your daddy was a businessman. It was always made good sense. You know, the war can make you rich, my friend, in dollars, pounds and cents. In the temple that was Mammon's, you were ordained a parish priest. You may win this coming battle, but could you tolerate the peace? So this might refer to the younger Bush, George W. Your daddy was a businessman, and it always made good sense. Although it could be anyone. A lot of these people who are top-level politicians, obviously quite wealthy anyway, with good business connections. So you know, the war can make you rich, my friend, in dollars, pounds and cents. So again, they don't care who dies, who lives. It's just, we're going to make a lot of money from this. In the temple that was Mammon's, you were ordained the parish priest. So Mammon was either not sort of the god of wealth, but wealth personified. So saying people here, they're just worshipping the acquisition of money rather than anything else. You were ordained the parish priest, saying, yeah, you're right in there, 2 feet. You may win this coming battle, but could you tolerate the peace? Again, it's more enjoyable for these people to have a war on and make money, whereas they're making less money if there's peace. Invest in deadly weapons on those little cotton flags. Invest in wooden caskets and guns and body bags. Already had. You invested in oppression. Invest in corruption. Invest in every tyranny and the whole world's destruction. This is quite telling, but it's just how people, basically psychopaths, operate. You invested in oppression, so countries where there's less civil rights. So these, there could be terrorist groups or puppet politicians propped up by CIA, American governments, so they're basically being funded to invest in corruption. Yep, invest in every tyranny and the whole world's destruction, saying they're putting things in place to keep the wars going, to keep areas unstable just because they want to sell more guns, more ammunition, and they just make more money from anywhere in the world where there's conflict. The bridge section is quite nice. I imagine there's a future where all the earthly wars are over. You may find yourself just standing there on the white cliffs of Dover. You may ask, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and suffer the loss of his soul? Is that your body you see on the rocks below as the tides begin to roll? This is, yeah, so idealistic thinking. Imagine where there's a future where all the earthly wars are over. And, yeah, well, that would be nice, wouldn't it? You may find yourself just standing there on the white cliffs of Dover. I think the white cliffs of Dover is a reference to the Second World War song. Again, it's more references. You may ask, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and suffer the loss of his soul? Well, yeah, this is very bad to do, obviously. Just investing in arms and just having wars just so you can make money. It's not good for the soul, is it? You gain money, but then you're basically dead on the inside. I didn't quite get these last two lyrics. Is that your body you see on the rocks below as the tires begin to roll? I would say basically you just morally crashed and burned. I'm not quite sure on that one. Then there's a war in our democracy, a war in our descent. There's a war inside religion on what Jesus might have meant. So our democracy, obviously people just pushing the narrative to make more money from war, a war in our descent. There's a war inside religion on what Jesus might have meant. So again, people arguing about the minutiae of things rather than coming together as people. There's a war on Mother Nature, a war upon the seas. Yeah, so there's lots of pollution and taking resources out of the earth just to make more weapons. There's a war upon the forests and the birds and the bees. Yep, just again harvesting natural materials, and it's at the cost of the earth, but people don't care. There's a war on education, a war on information, a war between the sexes and every nation. Again, just seeking to create division within society where it doesn't need to be there. A war on education, yeah, there's I keep my own opinions on the American education system to myself. The British one's not perfect, but yeah, a war on information, so obviously lots of lies in the media. A war between the sexes on every nation, again, generally media propaganda focusing on differences between people rather than coming together, because if you see another country or another group of society is different, then you'd be encouraged to hate them and support a war. A war on our compassion, a war on understanding, clearly, yes. A war on love and life itself, it's war that they're demanding. So again, just saying, oh, these people over there, they're doing bad things, even though they've maybe put bad actors in place to create, to stoke the fires of conflict, and saying, well, look, these people here, they're really bad, we need to go and sort them out, we need to liberate the country. So that's yeah, it's still going on, and that's why the song is still so relevant. Make it easy on yourself and don't do nothing. So again, this is appealing to your better judgment, your better morality, saying, so don't do nothing, speak out about this. If it's easier on yourself in the long term, because then you can look back on your life and say, yeah, I did something, rather than just hiding away and like knowing that guilt, well, a bad thing happens, but I did nothing about it. So he's saying we have a duty to speak out against the corruption, the propaganda, and all this lies, basically. It's a beautifully written set of lyrics. It's one of my favourites, and the song is really catchy as well. Next up, we have All Would Envy. This is a very lesser-known song that Sting did. It was recorded by a singer called Sean Colvin, and she did a bossa nova version of it, which the song is basically a bossa nova. But her version was a bit more strict in terms of the timing. Sting is really working the looseness in their phrasing. So he did a live version on the Sacred Love DVD album, which was recorded at the Mayan Theatre in LA, I think, with a small, relatively small acoustic band. And then there was also a version on the Symphonicities album in Berlin where he recorded with an orchestra. My favourite one is where from the live DVD, because there's no drummer, it's only percussion, which really makes it float, and it's not as grounded. And so he's putting the phrasing a bit more on. It's just so beautifully delivered that, again, it's exactly the words, the rhythm of the words, as you would speak them if you're reading them off the paper, is how it's sung. So just incredible. And it really keeps up the tension because the story is about an older man and he has a younger wife. So people on the outside are thinking, oh, they're really jealous and like, oh, would envy. But obviously with Sting, there's a twist to that, which we'll come to. And it's just, there's nothing deep in the lyrics. There's nothing to understand or Bible references or anything like that, like he likes to throw in. Just really beautifully written, quite clear story. So just get into that. Old enough to be a dad, but the young man were just mad. They nursed their grievances. And she was flattered by his charm. It wouldn't do her any harm. They'd all had their chances. So beautiful lady and older man has got in there and the younger man have less to offer. So, well, stuff them. They had their chances. He sent her flowers and limousines. She was treated like a queen. Anything she'd ever wanted. It was no problem for a man like him. So obviously he's a man of wealth. And everyone expected soon that she could ask him for the moon if she would wear his ring. So they thought, well, if they get married, then she'll have everything she ever wanted. Knowing glances from his friends in the homes and the weekends of high society. But he didn't give a damn. He'd never felt more like a man. So his friends, obviously like older men as well, old, I'm just saying maybe middle-aged, knowing glances, they're saying, oh, you got your hot young wife. But he didn't care. He just felt fantastic. All the time the clock was ticking, and all would envy the older man and his beautiful young wife. Yes, all would envy. So people are thinking they must have a perfect life, but the clock was ticking. Clearly something is going to go wrong. In a house upon a hill, she was there with time to kill. She lived a life she'd only dreamed. The life was never what it seemed. To all her friends that she'd ignored, she denied that she was bored. She had no time for dancing. No time for dancing. So, house upon a hill, so he's living in a very exclusive place. She was there with time to kill, so she's basically bored. She was attracted by the wealth. Oh, this guy can give me everything, but he probably lives at a slower pace of life than she does if she's younger. And so she feels a bit isolated from her friends. So no, this is fine. She had no time for dancing, so that's probably where they met somewhere, where there's music. But the clock upon the wall that was ticking in the hall always reminded her that life was going on elsewhere. But she was happy, and she swore she wouldn't change a thing. So she's clearly bored and wondering, is this what the rest of my life is going to be like? I can understand why that would be. All would envy the older man and his beautiful young wife. All would envy. So people think they must be having the perfect life, but she's bored because there's a guy who's older and she wants to go out dancing and do younger things. Bridge section's very good. Now it's 5 o'clock a.m. She must have spent the night again with that old friend of hers. She loves to dance. She's missing more and more these days. He's still stuck in his old ways. Perhaps she needs a little more romance. But the clock upon the wall is still ticking in the hall. She must be home soon. Where a younger man would weep, he takes a pill and goes to sleep. So this is the crux of it. So she's out again. She's out dancing. And let's be honest, that's probably some horizontal dancing. She's out more and more these days. He's still stuck in his old ways. So he doesn't want to go out dancing and do those things. Perhaps she needs a little romance. So perhaps the intimate side of their relationship is lacking as well. So, and this is it's killer. Where a younger man would weep, he takes a pill and goes to sleep. So he knows she's cheating on him. And someone else would cry, but he just chooses to take a sleeping pill and ignore it. Now, who would envy the older man, his beautiful young wife? Who would envy? So clearly the relationship is not what it could be. And from the outside, looks great, but things were broken down, and maybe it wasn't as good as they both thought it would be. So quite a sad song, but very well crafted. Okay, going to leave it there. So thanks for listening to this. Sting is someone who's had a profound effect on my lyrical and musical development. I'll do a part two with some more of his lyrics. And look out for more interviews and delves into the esoteric. You can find me on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and I'll see you later. Bye.